driving. Bill Lane crosses up. Van Buren, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the west side. No good. But she's going to get on a rebound. Kicks it out. Katie Sykes for three. No, that's the shoe.
She got it.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
We are live from the campus of Illinois State University. This is the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. And what a beautiful Thursday night we have on our hands. A big Thursday night. I'm sure all the Bears fans out there know exactly what's taking place at about an hour and a half. The Bears are kicking off their season this year. But we have some business to take care of. Today's show, we're going to sit down with senior midfielder Kate Delfava. And I'll say it, she's had a pretty impressive season so far. So we'll open up the show with that. Then we're going to talk some high school football, mixing in some local sports. We're also going to talk some Redbird football. After that, we'll be joined by news and sports guest Isaac Missile. And, of course, we got to talk some Bears football on this Thursday. After that, we're closing out the show with the best segment in all of sports talk radio, the Pick 6. You don't want to miss any of it, so stay tuned. That's all coming up this hour. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. Welcome back to the Red Zone, 6:04, and we're doing things a little different this week. Usually, we'd open up with some actual talk, but this week we're opening up the show with an interview. We're joined by senior midfielder from Redbird Soccer, Kate Delfava. And Kate, thanks for coming on. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
And we were talking off air. You were here like 10 minutes early, so we got to talk a little bit. This is the first time you do something like
yes,
this, right?
Yes, first time. First radio interview.
Are we excited? Are we nervous?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Well, we're here to have fun. It's just an interview, you know? Just a conversation. So, senior season, how's that feel? How's it feel to be playing your last year here?
It's a little bittersweet. It's been a great 3 years so far, and kind of don't want it to end, but at the same time, really excited for our senior class and what we're going to be able to do this year. So it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And you guys have started off kind of, I'm sure not as well as you would have hoped, but you personally have started off with a couple really good performances, and you have a couple really big games coming up. Do you think you guys are kind of hitting your stride as far as gelling as a team goes?
Definitely. I think we've learned a lot from our last four games, and we've grown a lot as a team, and I think we have the individual pieces that it's going to take, and I think we're ready to put the pieces together these next couple of games. And we have some big games coming up. We always love playing Illinois, so I think that'll be a really fun matchup, and I think we always do our best against teams like that.
And quickly looking back at your previous games, more specifically your most recent game against Iowa, I believe someone did something for the first time in her career that game. I think it's called a hat trick.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. How'd
that
feel?
Crazy. I never thought I'd be able to score a hat trick in college, so it's pretty surreal, actually.
Yeah, I mean that's how I don't know. I don't actually watch soccer enough to know how often hat tricks happen. Is this like a common thing?
I think it just depends. I mean, it's not common for me, but I think people that professionally and stuff like that, I think it can happen pretty often, but it was cool for me.
And you're, like, we've been talking about it, your recent, like, really, really good individual performance, the offensive player of the week past 2 weeks, and now you're in your senior season. Is there any added pressure for you to, any feeling of you kind of have to be more of a leader now as opposed to years past and really kind of have to step up in that regard?
I think a little bit. I think my attitude is kind of just leave it all out on the field because I'm not going to get a second chance at this after this year. So I'm kind of just trying not to hold anything back, and I've been lucky enough to be pushed up into a little bit of a higher position this year, which has been really fun. So I'm just kind of trying to take advantage of it, and yeah.
And honestly, I think you're doing exactly that, because if we just take a look at just some of the things you've done so far already this season, I'm going to break it down a little bit. So as of September 3rd, you have 5 goals. That ranks first in the conference, 10th in the country.
I didn't know that. I didn't know about the country one. That's cool.
10th in the country. So top, that's crazy. I mean, saying that's impressive, I think, is almost an understatement.
Thank you. That's very kind.
And then we're going to keep breaking them down. 10 total points, again, first in the conference, 13th in the country. Goals per game, first in the conference. That's 18th in the country. Points per game, first in the conference. I'd go out there and say you're probably the best player in the conference right now.
So not to gas you up at all, but like you're playing pretty well.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to have stats like that when you have teammates around you that are just setting you up for success all the time. And I know they don't get the same stats that I do with the goals, but really all of the goals I've scored this year would not even be remotely possible without the work they do ahead of it. So I've been pretty fortunate to be in the right place at the right time this season, and I hope that that continues to happen for our team.
And then one of the most impressive things as we were like doing research coming in today is you're also a 2019 Bone Scholar and a 4.0, and it's astounding to me the fact that you're able to compete at this high level, but then also perform so well in school. Like, I don't compete at any kind of level, and I'm not doing anything at school. So it's really cool to see, and that's also got to play into the leadership aspect.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for saying those kind of things. Yeah. But yeah, I think soccer and academics kind of go hand in hand for me, just with like my work ethic and my standard that I hold myself to. They're pretty easy to correlate with each other. So soccer motivates me to do well in the classroom, and then the classroom motivates me to do well in the soccer field. So.
And so let's go back in time a little more here. Okay. A lot of success this year, but that isn't something that many people, in my opinion, should be. And if they are, I think they're wrong. They shouldn't be surprised about the things you're doing on the soccer field this year. Because if you look back to your freshman year, you were on the all-freshman team. Look back to your sophomore year, you were all-MVC first team. Junior year, you're all-MVC first team, all-MVC scholar athlete team. So these accolades, this isn't something that is really new to you. I mean, just not all of us can be Division I athletes and have a 4.0 GPA. How do you do that, and how does that feel that you're honestly, you're one of the elite athletes here, one of the elite students here?
It feels really good, honestly. Like I said before, I love soccer, and so being able to play my sport in college and be successful at it has really been a dream come true. Mm-hmm. And then the classroom, I'm kind of just trying to prepare myself for the future because I know that soccer won't last forever. So, yeah, just putting my head down, getting to work. That's my motto, basically.
So looking ahead to this weekend, you guys have two really big home games. You've got Northern Illinois, and you've got U of I coming up. I know I'm excited for it. I got ESPN Plus, so I'm going to be watching both of them. But
good.
You should be at both of them. You should be watching them. You should be there.
I know.
Pack the pitch on Sunday.
Pack the pitch, exactly. I was just going to ask, how important is it, and how does it impact your performance as a team when you have so many people coming out and supporting you guys?
It honestly means so much. I know all of the girls have been nonstop talking about how excited we are to play at home, especially with our four games this year being on the road. And I think Adelaide Street Field is just a different environment playing on it. And we have great fans who always show up no matter what, the weather, the temperature, anything that's going on, they always show up. So I think it'll be a really good thing for our team to play at home this Friday and Sunday. And we're really excited to see what we can do.
And I'm not sure if it was this year, wasn't the attendance record just recently set?
Yeah, I think our exhibition game against SIUE was like the third ever. And then whenever we play Wisconsin or Illinois, the people show up. So I think Illinois is going to be a really, really exciting game with a lot of fans, hopefully.
And that is Pack the Pitch,
yes.
Playing U of I Sunday night at 6 p.m. go catch yourself a soccer game. Go to Adelaide Street Field and watch the Birds hopefully put a beating on the Fighting Illini. But I wouldn't categorize this as a fun question, but when was it, how long have you been playing for? When did you begin actually playing soccer?
Probably started around age 5, 6.
Okay, and when was it that you realized that you were going to be as good as you are? Because there's always that moment, whether it's in high school or when you're playing in like a park district league or whatever, that you realize like, wow, I'm actually good at what I'm doing.
I think it was when in high school when I had to kind of sit down and pick a sport to pursue, because if you want to play soccer collegiately, you kind of have to focus just on soccer if you want to get recruited by good schools. So I think it was then when I had to kind of make the decision. I was playing a bunch of other sports, but I realized that soccer was what I wanted to do, and that if I wanted a real shot at it, I'd have to put my 100% effort into it. So probably in early high school.
Okay. I wish I was able to have that realization. It was early high school when I realized that baseball wasn't going to be the thing for me to do.
Yeah, that's tough when you're – yeah, that's a realization that most of us have to come to at some point.
Right,
so.
Yeah. It's not fun. Not fun. But, well, and we talked about it earlier. So you're from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty big day for football fans everywhere, specifically Wisconsin and Illinois. So let me ask you, Bears or Packers?
Bears. All the way.
I love it.
All the way.
I was
scared.
Sorry,
Mom.
I was scared.
Sorry, Mom.
And for the people who can't see, we've got me, Scott, and Hector. We're all wearing Bears jerseys. And so it's a good thing that you said Bears. Otherwise, it might have been a little
I think that might have been a little bit
of
that might have been a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go Bears.
Oh, I like
go
that.
Go Bears.
Kate Delfava, senior midfielder, Redbirds Soccer. They have 4 straight home games coming up, starting on Friday. They're taking on Northern Illinois. Maybe get a little revenge for what they did to our football team last weekend.
Yeah, we plan to.
That game starts at 7. Then we have on Sunday, Pack the Pitch versus U of I. That game is at 6. Then next week, on September 13th, Utah State comes to Normal. That game's at 7. And on September 15th, Redbird Soccer will be taking on Western Illinois at 1 p.m. Kate, it was fun. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for
having
me.
How'd it go? How'd your first radio experience go?
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Right? It was fun. It was. It's not intense.
Not
you're just talking
bad.
Into a mic.
Yeah.
All right. Kate Delfava, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking some high school football. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Brady Davis from Redbird Football, and you're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZMD.
QB1, Brady Davis bringing us back into the show. That's amazing. I love that. Honestly, the bumps we have, top of the line, I love it. We're back, 6:17 on the campus of Illinois State University. And let's do quick intros really quick, because this is the first time you're going to hear his voice on this show. Scott Rizzala on the boards. How are we doing today?
It's good to be here. It's good. It was fun to watch, and it was fun to watch Katie. You know, she seemed a little nervous before she came in here, but she was like a natural. Like she came in there, she was sitting here. She answered the questions great. She didn't even stutter. I mean, there's some of us here that stutter. When
there's times I can't even talk on a mic.
So she was definitely a natural, and you could definitely tell.
And Joey, he's still here. Joey Dwyer is still with us.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody?
So, big weekend here in Normal. Friday Night Lights, it's the Chili Bowl. We have Normal West taking on Normal Community. And Scott Rizzala and Joey Dwyer actually got the chance to watch a little high school football practice yesterday. Boys, how'd that go?
It was really awesome. I mean, we went out there. We went to get an interview with Fincham, and we got to see a little bit of behind the scenes. I mean, if you look at it, they're coming off a win. Normal West is coming off a 36-6 win last week over Purdue Notre Dame. They're 1-0. They were 10-2 last season, and they look like they haven't missed a stride. I mean, Carson Camp is in his third year as a starter for the team. He looked great in practice. They look like they're ready to go this weekend, and I think they're going to get some sweet, sweet revenge.
Yeah, we were watching. We showed up. And they were practicing, so we had to wait for Coach. So, like Scott said, we were watching practice, and this Carson Camp kid, we were reading about him before we went, because everybody's like, oh, this kid's crazy. He's going to be D1. And watching him practice, and we didn't even get to see it because it was mostly second team reps when we were there. Mm-hmm. But we got to watch a little scrimmage at the end, and he was flinging the ball. Like, they did this 15-yard red zone drill, and he put it into the back corner, like right over his receiver's hands, right into the bread basket, and it was just a beautiful throw. And we got Coach Fincham to talk a little bit about it to us as well.
Yeah, so we have a little bit of Coach Fincham, and this is talking about Carson Camp.
Obviously, we have a Division I quarterback in Carson Camp. That is the, you know, it's his second year as captain. He's been a three-year starter for us, so he's a guy that we rely on big time.
And let's talk a little bit more about Carson Camp, because it's very important. Veteran experience, we talk about that in college sports all the time. But the fact that they have a veteran quarterback within 3 years of being in the program, he was with the offense last year as a junior when they went 10-2. So he's a very successful quarterback as well. To kind of have that experience, I mean, that's a lot, especially in a big game coming up this weekend.
And they've got a couple other guys who are juniors last year who are also really stepping up. Skylar Huffle's a guy who comes to mind. He's really important on both sides of the ball. He plays O-tackle, I believe, and then he's their nose guard. On defense, and he's huge stopping the run up the middle, and that's big because normal community has a great running game. Jake Heilman, 5'8", but he runs a 4.6 40.
Oh, man.
This kid is fast, and so he can get away. But like I said, Huffield, and then they've got Turcotte, who is their middle linebacker. So they've got a couple more juniors who are really stepping up and are seniors now and have taken bigger roles on the team.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit with Fincham about this as well. So this is a little bit of audio that we have talking about Normal Community here.
Coach Drinowitz has been there a long time, and he always has those guys doing a great job with the, whether it's the sweep option or the inverted veer, or however you want to label it, right? You know, they always have a nice tandem at quarterback and running back. And so for us, we got to try to bottle them up. And, you know, to be honest with you, the last couple of years, we have not had any success with that against them, and they've exploited that against us. So that's definitely something that we, you know, need to get better at as we play them this week.
And I think it's going to be very important for those seniors to step up in a big way coming up this week, because Normal West is ranked 78th in Illinois, and Normal Community is 74th. So these teams are about as even as it gets, even when you look at statewide. So it's going to be a grudge match, and they do not like each other from last year. And we were talking to some of the fans. There was some support out there at practice, and they are very, very excited for this game.
Absolutely. And Normal West actually has their homecoming week next week. So they're both teams are 1-0 right now. This is a game not only for pride and rivalry week. I mean, this is to stay undefeated, and you want to go into your homecoming week. It's a big week. There's a lot going on there. I mean, these are high school kids, so they're going to have high school dances. They're you know, we've all been in high school. We know what it's like. We know those emotions that are riding. These guys are probably, you know, getting a little nervous asking a girl, you know. So these are a lot of things going on. These kids are going through school and everything. So these next 2 weeks for them are very big weeks, and I think that's definitely going to play a factor as well.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting to watch this game. Hopefully we'll catch some of it. But yeah, make sure you keep updated. Go out if you can, because it's going to be a fun atmosphere.
All right, boys, let me tell you, that was beautiful. You guys just made me so proud right there.
High school, little high school. Yes, Friday Night Lights, baby. That's what it's all about.
There's nothing more exciting than Friday Night Lights.
There isn't, and I never played high school football.
Were you a super fan though?
Did
you
for sure, yeah. Our fan thing, we call ourselves the Blue Crew.
Really?
Oh, we were crazy.
See, we were Grenadiers, and we actually had a live DJ for 2 years come and play EDM music. And our crowd would get so hyped. It was the craziest high school football experience I probably ever had. We also went 0-9.
Oh, that's great. I was gonna say bringing an EDM artist, that's gotta mean you're losing games.
That is nice.
We were winning on the field. We were winning off of it.
Friday Night Lights. It's a great time. Great week. Big week. Chili Bowl this Friday night. You can go watch that. It's an inner-city rivalry. It's two good teams playing each other. A lot of bragging rights on the line. We're going to step aside really quick. When we come back, we're going to be talking some Redbird football. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. Welcome back to The Red Zone, 625 in Bloomington, Illinois. And it's time to talk some Redbird football. ISU football opened up their season last weekend in DeKalb. And things didn't necessarily go as everyone thought they'd go, but as everyone hoped they'd go.
They absolutely did not. And I think if you're a listener out there and you're watching this show, you're probably a very big Redbird football fan as well. And watching that game on ESPNU last week was just, it was hard. I mean, it was a 3-3 game at half. Brady Davis went 14 for 32 with an interception. I mean, our defense played so well to only hold NIU to 3 points. I just, a couple other players had to step up and they just weren't doing it.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was one of those games. It was one of those games where neither offense could get anything going. And then it just came down to that one play, and it just so happened to be that one play ended up being a Brady Davis interception that got taken back for a touchdown. And that's really what put the game out of reach, because that drive could have ultimately tied the game.
Absolutely. And the thing about that game as well is I think Coach Spack, one thing that kind of frustrated me is he kept running the ball up the middle, and they were stacking that box. NIU, they prepared for James Robinson, which I think any team that they're going to play again this year is going to prepare for. They stacked the box. They kept trying to go up the middle with it, and James Robinson got stuffed. I mean, he had like 28 yards on 13 attempts. But the thing is that worked out for him is when they did throw the ball and they gave him screens, he caught. He caught every single one of his balls that was thrown to him that was actually thrown to him. I mean, Brady Davis did kind of throw some balls away. He was really having a rough night. But, you know, James Robinson, he got like 8 to 9 receiving yards per reception. So, I mean, that was kind of working for him, and I don't know why they didn't go back to that. I'm hoping that they kind of go and have that approach this week.
Now, is this something that you guys think might become like a reoccurring thing where teams solely really focus on limiting James Robinson, and then we see Brady Davis not perform to what we know, because we know Brady Davis is a good quarterback. We know how he can perform. Is this something that might continue to happen where if they neutralize James Robinson and Brady Davis just doesn't perform?
I think what's really important for the Redbirds offense is to get some of these, because they're deep at receiver.
Yeah.
Like watching this game, coming in, I thought it was only going to be Braxton Haley who was really putting up numbers, but they had a couple other guys who performed pretty well out wide. I think getting them involved, because they're going to, if you have a great running back like James Robinson and you're having a game plan against him, you're going to be stacking 7-8 in the box.
Yeah.
When you're playing against him, but that opens up. I would, if I'm Brady Davis, I love seeing having 4 out wide and only 4 DBs.
Yeah.
I love that look.
Well, and the thing is with the running back too, when the running back is getting stuffed, you look at other players like you said to step up, and Taylor Grimes did just that. I mean, he had 6 receptions for 109 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, he came out, he had the game he was supposed to have. The only thing is he had that one muffed punt return, which ended up, you know, and actually Illinois State's D stepped up, and they actually, no points were allowed there. So, I mean, it was a muffle, but they did capitalize on it, and they made sure no points were scored. So he did recover, and he also, I think it was the very next possession where he had that touchdown reception. So he did make up for it. He had a pretty solid game as well.
Now, tough loss for sure, but it was against an FBS team. It wasn't like this Redbird team was expected to go in there and win. They played a decent game, and now their attention turns to Morehead State. Home opener coming up on Saturday night, 6:30 kickoff. Hopefully this team can adjust. I think they do make those adjustments. This definitely at Morehead State is nowhere near the kind of team that NIU is. But I think we'll see this ISU team come out, and they'll look like a different team that they look like last week.
But Morehead State, they are coming out. They're coming out hot. They're coming off a win, a 44-7 win over Union Kentucky. So, I mean, they're 1-0, and now they're going to have to play on the road, which obviously for every single team in football, no matter what sport it is, it's tough. But I don't know. I've got to take Morehead State very seriously.
No, yeah, definitely not a team you can underestimate, though.
And another thing, I was just reading the preview for the game, and this is something I didn't know, but ISU has a monster home field advantage. Since 2013, at Hancock Stadium, ISU is 31-6. That's nuts. Like, and that shows you how many people are showing up to these games, how raucous this crowd gets. But it's gonna be very, very hard for Morehead State to get any kind of momentum in this building.
Well, I mean, you think about it, Joey. When we went to that high school, we went to Normal West yesterday, and we covered and talked to Coach Fincham. We actually had a fan come up to us and actually talk to us. And I think he's listening right now. He told us he's an avid listener of the Red Zone and ZND. He loves it, and he loves Redbird Sports. So if you're listening out there, we recognize you. And it's the people like that that he's like, I'm going to every football game. He said he was going to this football game. And that's the thing about Redbird faithful is they are truly faithful. They come out and they absolutely love their team. And I think when you're playing in front of a crowd that's that electric, it just makes you want to play that much better. It makes you want to win, and I think that's what's going to happen here this weekend.
Yeah, they're a good home football team. They open up their home slate, home opener on Saturday night. Morehead State is in town to take on the Redbirds. That game is at 6:30. You can catch that here all on 103.3 WZND and WZND.com. Our very own Joey Dwyer will be doing play-by-play for that one, so tune in and listen to him call some football. We got to take a quick break for the news. When we come back, we'll be joined by news and sports guest Isaac Missel to talk some Bears. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. Isaac Missel, thank you very much for that. Honestly, top three newscasts I've ever heard. That was phenomenal.
I try my hardest, and you know that.
But I think it's finally time. I know everyone's been super excited to get to this point of the show. Isaac, what's today? What are we covering today?
Yeah. Well, we're just covering. I kind of touched on it a little bit in my sports, you know, but we're just covering the Bears. They're going to go ahead and start off this season, and we all have our own predictions. All of our predictions are pretty hefty for them, but you know, I think we all have one thing in mind, one thing that we'd all love to say, but we won't right now. But you know, maybe an NFL championship coming up this year for the Bears.
I don't think I've ever been more excited for a football game than I have for today. I have literally sat since the double doink against Philadelphia and talked about it. Since June, I have been doing fantasy mock drafts, and now we're in September. It's September 5th. We have the biggest game of the year, and I can never be more excited.
For that dedication to mock drafts, someone has to give Will Rocky Farlow a shout-out.
Oh, absolutely. Well, honestly, he said he was going to listen. So, Scott, I wouldn't be surprised if you get a text from him.
I hope you do.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, us. And I know we're all about to go. After this, we're all going to go watch the game together, except for Scott. He doesn't want to come over, but that's okay. But
listen, there's too many. You ever heard the term "too many clowns in the car"? That's what it would be like if I went over tonight.
We Scott, wherever you go, there's too many clowns.
I wouldn't even be able to see this. Wouldn't be able to see the screen. You just gotta watch the game in comfort.
Well, watching the game in comfort's one thing, but I don't know if I want to be comfortable. I want to be my heart racing out of my chest because of how hard the Bears are hitting the Packers. After I saw that, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the quote that Khalil Mack had where somebody asked him, like, are you ready for the season? And he's just like, I just want to get out there and hit somebody. I am so excited.
How relatable is that, though? Just want to get out there and hit a Packer, either a Packer or a Packer.
No, yeah, if I'm the Packers and I see that's what Khalil Mack said about wanting just the first game, that's all he's looking forward to, I'm a little scared.
Well, they're scared. They're just not going to admit it. But first of all, you were scared when we traded for him last year. I'm sure that news probably shocked you. But, hearing the aggressiveness from, oh yeah, definitely. I'd be shaking in my booties.
Listen, I think it goes both ways. I think Khalil Mack and the Bears defense are really tired of hearing about the name Aaron Rodgers, which I would be too, and I would love to go and hit him myself if I could, but I can't. So we're going to leave it to Khalil Mack. And on the other side, if I was a Packers fan, if I was Aaron Rodgers, I would be very sick and tired of hearing about the Bears D. So I think that just makes it even more intense.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. So we're just seeing things from, like, the Bears fan perspective. Like, oh, it's the Packers. We don't like the Packers. We all remember what they did to us the first game last year. We all remember how our season ended. But, no, there's definitely a lot on the line for both sides because Packers fans hate Bears fans just as much. And they've been right. The Bears have been one of the big stories nationally. So, the Packers, all they're hearing about is this Bears defense.
Boys, I do. My roommate texted me. Trey Burton inactive.
Oh, I was going to tell you guys that. You guys were all on the show, but I was paying attention. Trey Burton is inactive for tonight. It's a tough blow for the offense, but, that's just one small. That's just one guy. There's a lot of all pros on that team that are still playing tonight. So
listen, I'm not gonna lie. I haven't really been on the Trey Burton bandwagon ever since he didn't play against the Eagles. I mean, I know it was like a freak thing that happened, whatever it may be, but then he had groin, I think it was a sports hernia surgery over the summer. He fully recovered from that, and now he's having some unrelated groin injury again. It's been a year, and he's really put a bad taste in my mouth. I'm sure he's put a bad taste in a lot of Bears fans' mouths, and it's like, come on, we're paying you. You're supposed to be our lead tight end. It's time for you to come out and play.
I don't know where all your Trey Burton hate is coming from. Like, I genuinely like Trey Burton.
What has he done? What has he done that...
He's a good... He proved himself in Philadelphia. He just battled through some injuries.
Did he prove himself in Philadelphia when he was sitting behind Zach Ertz?
Okay, well, Zach Ertz is the best tight end in the league, Scott.
Exactly. So how did he prove himself?
He had a very good... When they won the Super Bowl, he was an integral part of that offense.
The thing is, he came to the Bears, and we expected a lot. And I think Ryan Pace expected a lot. I think the Bears ownership expected a lot. And the thing is, when he came here, we expected him to play and be healthy. And he has not done that this year or last year. It doesn't look like he's doing it this year because he's inactive tonight. So I'm trying to figure out why you guys are so high on a guy that really hasn't done much.
Look, Scotty, I will see your point. It's frustrating. We've got these big games. He's now sitting out. Honestly, since the Matt Nagy era started, biggest games have been the Eagles game. Second biggest game is obviously this one, the way we're going to start this season, that we all really feel is going to work out well for us in the end. But the thing about it is, Scotty, that offense, we all saw it against that Eagles game. That proved why he was important. Our offense just didn't look – that entire first three quarters, we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, there was just no fluidity there. And now, obviously, last season our offense wasn't, you know, tearing the league up, but at least there was some sort of consistency there. Trey Burton was always that kind of guy that Mitch could go to when he was a little – when he didn't know where else to go.
No, yeah. First, you can't fault him for getting hurt. You know, like, injuries are going to happen. Honestly, I'd rather have him sit out this week than try to play week one because it's the first game. It's Thursday night. They're playing the Packers. It's the NFL's 100th season. I'm okay with him not playing if it means that we get an actual 100% healthy Trey Burton a couple weeks down the line.
The thing is, I don't think the Chicago Bears put four tight ends on their 53-man roster if they were very confident and comfortable with Trey Burton.
Okay, but their fourth tight end, Bradley Sowell, is literally an offensive lineman. He's like he's there for red zone purposes. Like,
true.
That's why he's there.
True, but he did lose 35 pounds, and they did form him into a tight end. Was he a lineman? Yes. But is that going to help him? Because he can block. So now not only does he have the hands.
He's a gadget player, though.
Not only does he have the hands, he can block. And have you seen him over spring training?
No, I did, Scott. But the thing is, he's a gadget player. Kind of like in the same way they're going to use Cordero Patterson, is he's not going to be an every down guy. So you really only have Shaheen, who's going to get the start tonight, and then Trey Burton.
That's the truth, Scott. And look, I really don't want to discredit you here, because the fact of the matter is that entire Eagles game is just frustrating, because from the double doink, there's a million reasons why the season should not have ended at the point it did, and we all felt like it should have gone farther. It's easy to get angry and blame certain players, but you know, even being upset about injuries, how many other games did Trey Burton miss last year? I'm pretty sure he played most of, if not the entire season, up until the Eagles game. And that's just consistency. Yeah. You didn't even get out of your starting quarterback.
And I'm not saying you're wrong. Like, you did make a good point. The health, it has been an issue. It's an issue because
it's been an issue at like the right times.
That's the problem. It's been an issue at the right times. And again, first game of the season, you're playing the Packers. I think it's definitely a magnified issue.
But not only have we seen him with injuries, there's been a lot going out about his anxiety. And I don't know if there's a lot of stuff going on with anxiety-induced injuries, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's impossible. But no, if you really look at the mind and you really do your research there, you can tell yourself that you're hurting. You can tell yourself that you're feeling pain, and you can freak yourself out. So if it really is a problem mentally where he's having problems and that's going to disable him from being on the field, then that's a bigger problem, because not only is it a physical problem, now it's a mental problem. We've seen so many athletes over the years that have ruined their careers mentally. And that's something that you really got to take into effect here.
And that actually is a super good point, because we literally just saw Andrew Luck retire.
Because of the mental aspect of the game.
He's had like years and years of being injured and being in chronic pain. And when you're in the NFL and you're taking hits from these guys that are 300 pounds and they're coming, they're running 4-6 40-yard dashes, your body's going to take enough of that. Your mind is going to take enough of that. And that's, like I said, something you really got to think about.
Now, Scotty, doubts about Trey Burton, whatever. Is that the best part of this Bears team?
Absolutely not.
So, I mean, How does this defense make you? I mean, does the departure of Vic Fangio make you any more nervous, or do you think Chuck Pagano is going to be a guy that is the perfect guy to come in?
I have a lot of faith in Chuck Pagano. He was very successful in the Colts. I know a lot of Colts fans here, actually, that really like Chuck Pagano. And I think that, to be honest, I don't really think we need a mastermind with that defense. Vic was here. He planted the roots and everything like that. I think anybody can really come in and take over this team because the talent out there is so good that you really don't need like a mastermind anymore.
And something I want to bring up to you boys, because I know we've gone back and forth on it a little bit of other friends of mine who are Bears fans. There's a lot of talk about Ha Ha Clinton Dix coming onto this team, former Packer. So,
but, yes, I think that works actually in our benefit.
But
against your old team.
How do you guys think he stacks up compared to Adrian Amos last year? And do you think that's going to come as a detriment? Or, you know, you got the Bama boys and the safeties now. Do you think that's going to boost us up? What do you guys think?
So the thing about it with me, and when I think about our safety play, is that, you know, up until almost at last year, I don't think many Bears fans would have said Adrian Amos was worth an extension. Or at least, probably not the extension that he got or the contract that he got. From the Packers. So it's really weird when you look at the dynamic, because I was talking to somebody today and I even thought, you know, if Deion Bush was our starting strong safety instead of Ha Ha, I mean, I'm not crazy confident, but I'm not going to be upset by that. It was a hole that was going to happen anyway. So I having Ha Ha there is a little bit more talent than probably what we were going to have going into this season. I'm sure that, you know, Ryan Pace, when he's looking at it, he was probably happy to find a guy like Ha Ha to fill that spot. And, you know, ultimately the number one safety in our defense is Eddie Jackson. He's going to be making the most plays, and he's the free safety, so that's going to be the most important safety out there. So, I mean, yeah, as nervous as I may be, Eddie Jackson's always going to make me feel better.
That's one thing about the Bears, and I just kind of want to touch up really quick on everything, is not only are they deep on defense, they're deep on offense. We have about 6-7 receivers that can play the game. We have about 4 running backs that can all kind of run the ball, and it's going to be really exciting to see David Montgomery out there and get his first, you know, rookie debut in a season game. Thursday night, the first game of the NFL. Mitch Trubisky going on his third year, a proven year. He has to have a good year. There is no reason for him to have a bad year. Second year in Nagy's offensive scheme here. And he's got so many weapons around him that I just don't see him failing. He was the second overall draft in 2015. It's time for him to prove it.
Yeah, I'll say Mitch is playing for an extension this season. I think the way he plays this year, if he goes off, he's going to get paid.
Now, if you were going to compare him to another quarterback in the NFL, would you kind of consider maybe a Dak Prescott in that same situation? As much as he hasn't performed, I'm talking about the situation.
I would much rather think that Mitch Trubisky is going to be better than Dak Prescott. Just not that Dak Prescott's an awful quarterback, but he just doesn't match up with the rest of the talent
Dallas. That was utterly
disrespectful. I think you guys are misinterpreting what I'm saying. I'm saying that Dak Prescott is an unestablished quarterback. But now he has weapons and he's playing for a contract. Mitch Trubisky, unestablished, had a bad rookie year, which, I mean, we can talk about that for hours. His second year, much better. Now they're both playing for a contract here, and they both have a lot to prove. That's what I'm saying. They're both playing for contracts.
No, yeah, I'd say that that's a fair comparison.
And they both have good teams.
Yeah, we're not saying like, oh, Dak is better than Mitch is better than... We're not comparing the quality of quarterback. They're in this almost the exact same situation. Where now people see and they're like, okay, this guy has the potential to be super, super good. But we need that one year where he just explodes. And that's when that extension comes up. And both guys are playing this year is that year for both, I'd say, for both of those quarterbacks.
I like that a lot. I like that comparison. Honestly, just because he just got his contract, I'd almost say it's closer to Jared Goff. Also, Mitch Trubisky and Jared Goff are kind of similar quarterbacks in their own sense. They really hit that new head coach. They found a new stride with that. They looked completely different from their old school head coach with their new head coach. So, I mean, not saying that he's going to be that he is going to be as good as Jared Goff. I'm not saying he's getting us to that game this year. Hopefully he does, but I think that's where he'd like to put himself. He definitely would love to compare himself probably to Jared Goff more than Dak.
And you bring up Jared Goff. Would you say that Jared Goff has better weapons than Trubisky does?
That's tough. Obviously I'm biased, but I look at this Bears offense and it just really feels full. I mean, Allen Robinson to Taylor Gabriel to Anthony Miller to Riley Ridley, who's not even active tonight. Yes, when Trey Burton, he's not playing tonight, but when he's there, he's obviously a skilled player for the Bears. Adam Shaheen's a tall body that can make plays in moments. it's weird. And also to say that the Rams are losing pieces too a little bit. They've had to shell out some money to some guys now, and they're not really having the same amount. I mean, they have Cooper Kupp still. They have Robert Woods, but it seems like that's about it when it gets to the receiving core. I'm not sure Higbee's as good of a tight end as he's not the elites of the
league.
My
boy Tyler Higbee just signed a 4-year extension. 4-year information.
Is he of the elites in the NFL, or tight end?
I have had some money Madden games thrown to Tyler Higbee. I've been playing Madden. He's had like 250 yards, 4 tutties.
If you ever call Scott Rosale a clown ever again, I just brought up Madden.
I was going to say Madden stats to real life.
Don't ever call Scotty a clown again.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Madden is not good.
It's not really a good comparison. But back on the subject, what do you guys think about the Bears offense about where the Rams offense was probably about a year ago?
Yeah, the weapons are there. The weapons are for sure there. It's a young offense. Most of the guys are younger, earlier in their career. One thing I think the Bears are stronger at the running back position. Not stronger, deeper. And I feel like that's going to benefit them a lot this year.
They are very deep there.
Yes.
I 100%. You got to break it down a little better to make it feel real. You look at the left side, you got Allen Robinson, you got either Robert Woods or Brandon Cooks, who Brandon Cooks had a successful season or career on the Patriots.
I didn't forget about Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, exactly. And then he came, now he's on the Rams. So you got those two receivers, so you're comparing those two with Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller. Anthony Miller, he had that lingering shoulder injury all year last year, kind of let us down, but he was a walk-on at Memphis. He had the all-time touchdown record there. So, if he can have a breakout year, which he's expected to have, then I think that our wide receivers are pretty much the same. You look at the running back game, Todd Gurley doesn't have a right kneecap, so that's tough for him. And you look at Darrell Henderson, he's a rookie, he could have a breakout year. David Montgomery, it's so close. The tight ends are both kind of a rocky situation. The quarterbacks are kind of the same. And I think our defense is better than the Rams. So overall, I think we're a better team. If we're looking at weapons, I think it's kind of up in the air because this is such a proven year for the Bears.
I like that a lot, Scotty. I really do.
Yeah, okay. I do like that. I'd still say the weapons are there. The Bears, we'll go back to the Bears enough with the Rams because the Bears are a better team than the Rams.
They proved it last year. I don't know if anyone saw it. They played each other last year.
But the Rams did go to the Super Bowl.
How do they look in there? How do they look in that Super Bowl?
They did lose, though, right? They did get there, but they lost.
They didn't look great in that Super Bowl.
And they did look very bad. They scored a whole 3 points. Right?
Yeah, I believe it was 3 points. The Patriots in that game didn't put up much more. It's not like Tom Brady had his greatest NFL championship ever, but
wasn't a good Super Bowl, but they got there, and the Bears are in that same exact position. The Bears are there. They have the tools. They just need to perform.
I mean, you're really right. I guess we're probably getting close to our next segment, but before we jump into that, just give us some little predictions right now for our squad.
Yeah, give me a record, and obviously we're all going to say that we think they're going to win the championship, so leave that out. Just give me a legitimate prediction on what you think they're going to do this season.
Record is hard, but I'm going to go 11-5 for the Bears. I think the Vikings are going to come in second. I think the Lions are going to come in third. But I also think that those three teams that I just named, I think that they make the playoffs. I think the Bears get a bye. I think the other two teams get the wild card spot. And then, I think the Packers are going to come in fourth. I know they have Aaron Rodgers. I get that. But they upgraded their defense as well. And tonight's going to be a scary game. But if I had to pick the teams, Bears, Vikings, Lions, Packers.
Okay, I like that, Scotty. For me, that double doink hit the crossbar. I immediately looked down, looked right back up, looked at all my buddies I was watching the game with. I said, "We're signing Robbie Gould, and we're going 15-1, and we're winning the whole thing next year. I don't care. That's what we're gonna do." Now, obviously, I had a few months to sit on that take for a little bit. Maybe I'm a little overheated. We didn't get Robbie Gould, so I can't say we're gonna go 15-1. But I do. I mean, I just think this is a good team, and a lot of people are afraid of the schedule and all this other stuff. The games really play out in their favor. I mean, a lot of their tough games are going to be at home. Their toughest game probably against the Chiefs is week 16 at home. You play the Bears in Soldier Field where it's cold. Jared Goff showed us that you can have the best offense in the league. It doesn't really matter, but I'll go 14-2.
It's called bear weather for a reason.
I went through the schedule a couple weeks ago and I laid out what I thought each game. And Isaac, you're right. The Bears got a tough schedule. It's tough. And even though they've got some home games, they have some games that I don't know if they're going to be able to pull out. I think they'll go, I'll be 12-4. I think we're going to have a pretty decent. There are a couple slip-ups. I don't think the Eagles are going to be tough. The Rams are going to be super tough in L.A. But I think 12-4, and then playoffs is cookies, baby. Mitch is coming into a second round of playoffs. It's money.
I like that a lot.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. But before we do that, Bears are going 14-2, and the Lombardi Trophy is coming to Chicago. We'll be right back with Pick 6. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. 6:53 on the campus of Illinois State University, and we'll just get straight to it. We're not going to beat around the bush today. It's time for the best segment in all of Sports Talk Radio. Scotty, hit the bump.
It's the Pick 6. Only on the pulse of Redbird Nation. 103.3 WZND.
And that's two straight weeks of perfect execution by Scott.
That's big. I had nightmares. Nightmares for 3 days after that last muff-up on week one, so I'm glad I can get it going now.
So it's Pick 6 time. Finally, the real Pick 6 is starting, if you'd remember. 2 weeks ago, we picked some preseason games. That was no fun because no one cares about NFL preseason football. The week after that, last week, we picked some college football games. And don't have the results. It was the preseason. We wiped the records. It really didn't matter. No one's gone for it. Like, I don't remember. I think it was Steve C. said the year the Lions went 0-16, they went 4-0 in the preseason. So that says that's the preseason in a nutshell right there. So we're going to get to it. Pick six. Six games. You got to pick the winner or loser. Scott, first game. The Falcons are in Minnesota. They'll be in Minnesota taking on the Vikings. Who do you got?
I got the Vikings with this one, Hector.
Okay.
I'm up next. I really just like beating up on the NFC North whenever I can. So I'm going to go Falcons in this one. I also think they're a dark horse to win that division if the Saints fall off.
Yeah, I got to agree with Isaac on this one. I love Matty Ice. I think they had a deaf and down year last year. But Julio Jones is a dog. Minnesota's defense is getting old. Falcons all the way.
Yeah, I'm not big on the Vikings. I don't think they're very good. Kirk Cousins gets 50 opportunities to throw the ball downfield every game. And he's just not that good of a quarterback if you need that many chances. I'm going to take the Falcons. Steve Cease, our faculty advisor, taking the Vikings. Questionable, but okay. Up next, we have the Lions at the Cardinals. Scott.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give a shout-out to Steve Cease here. I've been kind of hyping up his team a little bit. I think the Lions are going to take the Cardinals in this one. I think it's going to be an easy one. It's going to be a fun game because of Kyler Murray, but the Lions are going to take this one.
We ran through it a little bit. I think the Lions are the second-best team in this division, only because they really made their defensive line better. So going along with that, Kyler Murray is probably going to be a really good quarterback. I wish the best for him. Not sure what's going to happen with his career in Arizona. Arizona's kind of a death trap, but we'll go Lions in that game.
Hey, you guys have fallen into the Steve Cease trap. I woke up this morning thinking about this game, and I was taking a shower, and I was like, wait a minute. The Lions aren't actually good. Steve's lying to me. They're not going 13-3. I'm taking the Cardinals. Larry Fitz, Christian Kirk, David Johnson, all these weapons around Kyler, he's going to be a dog.
I'm right there with Joey. I don't know what you guys are doing. Steve's taking the Lions because for some odd reason that's his favorite football team. I'm taking the Cardinals. Kyler Murray is going off. He's getting the dub in his first start in the NFL. Up next, this is a good one. Sunday Night Football. Steelers at Patriots. Scotty.
I like my boy Juju. I'm going to have to go with the Steelers here. They lost Antonio Brown, yes, but I think the NFL lost Antonio Brown. If you saw any of the updates that's going on with the Raiders, don't know what's going on there. I think the Steelers are going to be a team to bargain with. They didn't make the playoffs last year when they should have. There's been so much going on with the Steelers. They have a fresh team now. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I like the fresh team take. I like everything else is going on. I like how they got rid of Le'Veon. And you shouldn't say how you like to get rid of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, but for the Steelers, they kind of made it work. You know, the Patriots always kind of start the season slow. I'm going to go Steelers in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree. Tom Brady's a Steeler killer, and Ben Roethlisberger can't do anything about it. So we're going to go Patriots in this one.
Yeah, Steve. Taking the Patriots, he's smart. I'm smart, too. You don't bet against Tom Brady. Learn that early on in life. I'm just going to keep going with it because you don't bet against Tom Brady. After that, Texans at Saints. This is one of two Monday Night Football games. Scotty.
I think the Texans are going to be a fun team to watch, but it's Drew Brees. We're going to have to go with the Saints.
I'm going to go Texans in this just because I think they're the next best team in the AFC South.
And Isaac, I absolutely agree with you that they're the next best team, but next is in a little bit. I'm going to have to go Saints.
Yes, I'm taking the Saints. Steve taking the Saints. Drew Brees is good. Saints are going to win. Other Monday Night Football game, Broncos at Raiders. Scott.
No bad blow with Vic. We're going with the Broncos.
Watched way too much Hard Knocks this offseason. We're going to go ahead and go with the Raiders.
Yeah, I also watched way too much Hard Knocks. I know that the Raiders have no talent on that roster, so we're going to have to go Broncos.
Steve, taking the Raiders. I think he's in on the hype, the Raiders bandwagon. He watched a little too many Hard Knocks episodes, too. I watched a lot of Hard Knocks, too. I'm taking the Broncos, though, because I'm smart. And the final game, the one we've all been waiting for, Packers at Bears.
Oh, man, those green and gold. I'm going to have to go with the Bears. The Bears are going to win this game, and it's not just going to be a close game. They're going to win by at least 10.
You know, I think the Bears might struggle in this one. You know, they might not get the offense going. They might have a lot of – I'm just kidding. The Bears are going to win this game. It's not really going to be close. Green Bay just doesn't have the defense. And you know what? Honestly, just was looking over some tape today. Mitch doesn't really struggle against the Packers.
No, yeah. I actually – well, obviously, I think the Bears are going to win. But more importantly, the Green Bay Packers are going to lose this game. And that's going to be sick.
We'll just get right to it. Steve's picking the Bears. I'm picking the Bears. The Bears are – going 14-2 this year, winning the championship. Now it's time to go watch the Bears. That's the end of our show. And what a show it was. Isaac Missel, thank you very much for coming on, doing a beautiful newscast to start things off, and then you just bless us with your input on the Bears. Joey Dwyer, Scott Rizzala, as always, magnificent job. Scott, way to run the board.
It was a good one today. I felt like with the interview and everything, Kate Del Fava on here, she did a great job. You guys did a great job interviewing her. She was actually our first guest this year, so kind of having her on and having her kind of break us in was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was big, and it was fun to talk about some high school football, too. Scott and I had a good time going to Normal West. Hopefully, we'll get more involved in the community later this season because everybody loves a little Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, so if you missed any part of today's show, you can catch it all on WZND.com. Our very own Scott Rizzala will have that up shortly. Quick shout out to Kate Del Fava. Thank you for coming on. This has been the Red Zone. Bear down. We'll be back next week.
To hear this and other past episodes of the Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And, of course, tune into the Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.